Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavirkaravavahai Tejasvinavaritamastamavidyavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 10, in the footnote. In text 4, the word upagiyamanat is used. Nivritta tarsher upagiyamanat. Who will chant the glories of the Lord unless he is a devotee? Therefore, the word Navrita Tarshaihi indicates the devotee and no one else. These are the remarks of acharyas like Viraragamacharya and Vijayadvaj. To desire anything other than devotional service will diminish one's freedom from material desires. But when one is freed from all such desires, one is called Navrita Tarshaihi. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 19.170. Yes. So, as one is freed from material desire, he becomes more interested or more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And the more he's absorbed in material desire, the less he's actually freed from the material contamination. So that's the point. If you take up bhakti, you're engaged in devotional service, you're not engaged in the material. That would give rise to not being engaged in material. Yeah. So it's not that not being engaged in material comes from material. That's the whole point. You can follow the various dharmas of renunciation and detachment, but that actually won't give up material desires, because why is one renounced? Right? Basic thing is it has less trouble. So that's desire. Right? Does that make sense? So one tries to get rid of anxiety by dealing with less that gives anxiety. Another deals with getting rid of anxiety by getting more facility, and those facilities are supposed to get rid of this anxiety comes up, so we get this facility to counteract that desire, and that one creates another one, you just keep on going. But the point is both of them are material desire. So jnana means the knowledge and the attachment, they're both material desires. So when those are given up, means those things are connected to the Lord. Then one moves forward. So to that degree that one gives up seeing it separate from the Lord, to that degree one is in the liberated position. So... Okay, this was... Okay, up here. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul, undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? Footnote 3. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns this verse to Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 14, entitled Analysis of Unfavorable Conditions for Bhakti, Bhakti Pratikul Vichar, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book, referring to the last part of the verse. If you do not fit the description mentioned in the first part, you must fit the description in the last part. Right? So in other words, you're glorifying and all that, that is then what you're supposed to do. But if you're not doing that, then you won't be able to be absorbed in this. So not being able to be absorbed in this, that's unfavorable. Because you're going to say, no, but this is, you know, being absorbed in the Lord, that's the favorable. Yes. But it's describing those that can't do that. So that means not glorifying the Lord, not coming in parampara system, not which is given by the spiritual master, not relished, not being interested in the false, temporary, like that. That's and description of the, that's the right medicine. So giving that up, so all that becomes unfavorable. You understand? Because sometimes we wonder, why is it in this and not in the opposite? Because it's describing what it, this is describing it in the negative. You give this up, you won't be able to do. So those who are in that position of giving up, they can't do these things. These things are favorable. So that means not being in this position, that's unfavorable. Right? But since bhakti is only can be compared to bhakti, then you can't describe it without describing bhakti. So therefore it appears, oh, but what is the favorable? Srila Prabhupada comments. In India, it is the practice among the general populace to hear about Krishna, either from Bhagavad Gita or from Srimad Bhagavatam, in order to gain relief from the disease of repeated birth and death. Although India is now fallen, when there is a message that someone will speak about Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, thousands of people still gather to hear. This verse indicates, however, that such recitation of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam must be done by persons completely free from material desires, Nivritatar Shahi. Everyone within this material world, beginning from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, is full of material desires for sense enjoyment, and everyone is busy in sense gratification. But when thus engaged, one cannot fully understand the value of Krishna Katha, either in the form of Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So hearing from those who have faith that this is the actual thing, that will gain your faith. But if you hear from those who are not having that faith, then it will simply just develop that lack of faith. Right? Now you have an excuse why you have the lack of faith. Right? It's preaching Prabhu. That's why we don't have to do anything that preaching, that, you know, to set an example. Right? Setting an example, people may be upset with that example, so we won't set an example, and that's preaching. So therefore, I never have to set the example because I don't want to, and, you know, because otherwise, when I'm out preaching, yes, okay, then I would do the things, just be like a regular Westerner. But when I go home, then I would do things like a devotee. But we see in reality, it's what I do at home, that's what I do outside. So, you understand? So because of that mentality, it's not coming from the pure position, doesn't have faith in, it's based on material desire. Therefore, it will only cultivate material desire. Even though it's pious that you're connecting to the Lord, but the point is what are you cultivating? You're cultivating that attachment. You're using Dharma for your own purpose. So that's the meaning of Chala Dharma. Right? Upadharmas, you know, Adharma, all these is you're adjusting it. Does that make sense?
Maharaj?
Yes.
Is it not that like the qualifications of the speaker are considered only? If the speaker is unqualified, but the mass who's come to hear about the message of God, they are ignorant. And they are being poor, they have been unnecessarily, the negative.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Yeah.
That's the point.
That's very bad because.
No, it's very bad. That's why it's said that if you're doing something foolish, that's okay. Means you'll get the reaction for that foolishness. Means it's not okay, but it means the reaction is only what you've done. But if you preach that foolishness, you get 100 times the reaction. That's why we're strong about this point. Because why 100 times? Because you are preaching something that the common person wouldn't catch. So they're taking it that this is something special. Does that make sense? But it's not special. It's just a glorification of one's attachment. Does that make sense?
If you do it in the Dham, it's another 1,000 times.
Yeah, then you get 1,000. Yeah, so 100 times and then 1,000. Woo! 100,000 times the benefit. But Prabhupada mentions about that. Okay. If we hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from liberated persons, this hearing will certainly free us from the bondage of material activities. But hearing Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by a professional reciter cannot actually help us achieve liberation, right? So that's the parampara system. We hear from the liberated souls, right? So Prabhupada, the acharyas, they're the liberated souls. So if we, taking that mood that they give us, try to represent that, then we get the benefit. But if we make up our own interpretation, then that's not going to get anyone any benefit. Right? Does that make sense? Then you have those that just, you know, it's part of the culture, and so they do this, and it's professional, that's how they maintain themselves. Krishna Katha is very simple. In Bhagavad Gita, it's said that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As he himself explains, Mata Parataram Nanyat Kinchid Asti Dhananjaya. O Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Bhagavad Gita 7:7. Simply by understanding this fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can become a liberated person. But because in this age, because people are interested in hearing Bhagavad Gita from unscrupulous persons who depart from the simple presentation of Bhagavad Gita and distort it for their personal satisfaction, they fail to derive the real benefit. So that's the point, is that even though they may be interested, still by that wrong association, they don't get the transcendental benefit. There are big scholars, politicians, philosophers, and scientists who speak on Bhagavad Gita in their own polluted way, right? So Prabhupada is expanding it beyond. We can say, oh, but that's the Bhagavad Sapta reciters and this and that. The Prabhupada is showing us, no, that's where that principle is, that's where the example is given, because it's a discussion of Bhagavatam, but it's by a professional reciter. So now, are people going to go to him if he's not smart, if he's not good at what he does? No, he's a professional. That means he's good. Therefore, that means he is a scholar, politician, philosopher, or scientist. And that's why people are attracted. You understand? So with the one example, that sets for anybody who has these identities and then, therefore, then makes their own interpretation based on that to support their position. So that's not Nivritta Tarsher. That's not pure. That's not, the intent is not pure. One can say, well, so that means if we're not pure, then we can't preach. No. The point is, that's why we have the founder. The founder has said it. We simply give what the founder gave. We don't, that's why it says that the delivery person doesn't add something or subtract from what is given. Right? Does that make sense? So as it is given, that's how we're, that's why it's as it is. Not how I would like it to be. Bhagavad Gita, how I think it should be.
There's one guy, he wrote the Bhagavad Gita as I see it.
Yeah.
I saw it in a book shoved in Mumbai.
Yeah, so it's like this, yeah.
Okay.
You know, so that's the thing, is there's so many of those. So you can just add them on, there's Bhagavad Gita as it is, and then on the other 700 and some on, you can throw all these others onto the pile, you know. What does it matter? Just, you know, where are the, what do you call it? The fundamentalists, when you need them, there's a pile of books here they could burn.
Yeah.
You know, but
we already stacked them for you.
Yeah, it's like that. So that's the point is that it's just another book in the crowd. The Prabhupada said, I think it was Guru Kripa, another face in the crowd. That's all. They're just out there. Everybody's making up their own philosophy. So here, but you know, who wants to hear? But if you're a scholar, a big scholar, politician, philosopher, scientist, then people want to hear. So then they speak on Gita, then it becomes a problem. Okay. So there are big scholars, politicians, philosophers, and scientists who speak on Bhagavad Gita in their own polluted way. And people in general hear from them, being uninterested in hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from a devotee. So now, here's the aspect. They're not interested, that's why they come in contact with these individuals. Yes.
Sometimes we know for ourselves, but the devotees as such, we forget why we speak. We do it out of habit. Because that's what we do it always, that's... goes.
Yes.
So the intent somewhere there,
we do it to please Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, yes. But on the spot.
No, but that's the point of, that's why we were saying before, is that our absorption is not complete. Always remembering, never forgetting. So we're forgetting, but we're performing the activity that's based on remembering. Our intent is that, but at the moment we're not. So by continuing the process, we get purified, and we start more and more being able to absorb ourselves in the Lord.
My point is about audience.
It means they're hearing from authority and all that, so they'll get the benefit. Because your intent is proper. It may not have maybe the force and other things like that, but still the benefit is there. But what we're talking about is when it's unscrupulous. There's another purpose in mind too, using that.
Altogether.
Yeah. So then that, even though it's eloquently done, everybody's enthusiastically listening, then the point is it won't bring them to devotional service. It'll bring them to that mood of where they're just absorbed in that. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. Is you want to absorb yourself in a particular thing. It's just like we were discussing the other day, those who create their own Krishna conscious movement outside the society. So their principle is based on that they're doing something right, ISKCON's wrong. So we can go all day and not discuss them one time. We could go all week, we could go for years. But for these individuals, all based on how our understanding is wrong, we're doing things wrong. So that's the whole point, is that it's not that it's about pure devotional service. It's about how they're great and we're not. So it's unscrupulous. It's not real. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Can you also say that the audience itself is not sincere enough? They like to hear from the politicians and philosophers.
You could say.
And not from the devotee, because they know if they hear from the devotee, then restrictions will come into their lives also. So because.
Yes, but at the same time, that doesn't make it all right for these persons to speak in an inappropriate way. Because they should be speaking in an appropriate way. Because then somehow or another, these individuals would be benefited. So we can't just say, oh, but they're not sincere, so therefore what does it matter? The point is that if you're sincere, you'll attract those who are sincere, and then with this time it will percolate down the. A devotee is one who has no other motive for reciting Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam than to serve the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore advised us to hear the glories of the Lord from realized persons. Bhagavat paro dia bhagavata stane. Unless one is personally a realized soul in the science of Krishna consciousness, a neophyte should not approach him to hear about the Lord. For this is strictly forbidden by Srila Sanatana Goswami, who requotes from the Padma Purana, A Vaishnava mukod girnam putam hari katamritam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpochishtam yata payaha. One should avoid hearing from a person not situated in Vaishnava behavior. Right? So here he's saying, one situated in Vaishnava behavior. So what is the standard for Vaishnava behavior? That's what one should be doing. So one, you have the form of that behavior, and you have the attitude of that behavior. Right? How you apply the behavior. So all that should be taken. You can't, you don't want to hear from someone who, one, is not interested in this behavior, thinks it's unimportant because that's Vedic and all that, and we're not interested in all this kind of jazz, when Sanatana Goswami very clearly here says we are. Right? He's written a whole large book on it. And so that, so we can't take it that, oh, we're just being practical, we're just this and that. Just say that I am able to do that because of my impurity and fallen condition. But I appreciate those who can, and I'm trying to take what I can from Krishna consciousness. Then that's proper behavior. That's humility. So when we identify that I am in a fallen condition, therefore. But if we try to be like these scholars, politicians, philosophers, and scientists, trying to state that no, this position is the standard, and following the standard position, that's not good or not viable because it's the modern age and that's ancient and archaic and all that, then that's not philosophy. It's not preaching, because Krishna is eternal. It's his breath. He's always breathing. That means the Vedas are always vital. They're always alive. So to say at any time that the Shastra doesn't apply, that means the person does not know philosophy. End discussion. It's not, oh no, but that's an interpret. No, it's not. They don't know the philosophy. Nava-yovana means ever fresh. It's always there. People just do that because they don't want to follow Vaishnava behavior. Like that. You know what I'm saying? Because we'll accept the philosophy part of it and say, yes, that's eternal. But the behavior part of it, we'll say that's temporary. But the two go together. The tattva and the rasa, the bhakti, the religion, these things go together. One is the understanding of it, the other is the practice of it. So you can't separate them. So those who separate them, you should avoid hearing from. Right? Now, because this takes away the point of, they're not very advanced, how can I hear from them? No, but if they're trying to follow the Vaishnava behavior, they have that faith in the philosophy and the Acharya, then hearing from them has advantage. Though they may not be so realized themselves in it, but at least how much faith they have, you can gain. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole point. Is that in this way, then you have, like is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the third class pure devotee. Means you have the faith, but you just don't know Shastra so well, you don't know these things so well. So, but it has effect. People become devotees. Like that. Does that make sense? And you follow, then it works. Because taking the person off the street a devotee, that's one thing. Deviating someone already practicing Vaishnava behavior into not practicing Vaishnava behavior, what's the glory? Right? Where is the shining glory? We end up with the, what was it? Miserable
condition.
Miserable condition, yes.
India is very common, this chala dharma. It's very difficult.
That's there. That's why then people are interested, they'll hear. But as Prabhupada said, you put out that you're doing this, thousands of people will still come for it. Like that. I think they just had, what was it? What was it? A year or two ago, they just did an anniversary of the Cross Maidan program.
Last year was all the yoga.
I'm not sure. It was in Bombay. Prabhupada did a big program, Cross Maidan. They did there, and a huge amount of crowd came. Huge. Thousands and thousands. So the point is people will still come. Point in the rest of the time, other than when you're doing this program, they'll be busy in other, useless nonsense. But other than that, before they would do that and then practice, contemplate, do their own study, and then come for these programs. Now they'll come for the program, and then the rest of the time do some other nonsense. Yes.
I've often heard a quote that said philosophy without religion can be introspective.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes, exactly.
It ties into this point.
Because otherwise, then you'll means the criticism, okay, of the Hindus, because they have followed the religion but not the philosophy, right? Because we're Hindu by religion, you can say. Because sometimes ask, are you Hindu? And then we'll say, no. Means we are by religion, not by philosophy. We're Vaishnava by philosophy, Hindu by religion. Because Hindu meaning it's based on the Veda. And then, so since there's such a wide variety of religions within the Veda, then, we're following what's recommended for us. But of that, now how you philosophically interpret, that's going to be where your big difference lies. Because any Hindu, anywhere you go to their house, the treatment, the dealing with them is always the same. Doesn't matter what state, what community, what social status, it's always the same flavor. Because that's Hindu by religion. So that's the whole idea. Then, but philosophy, then they each have their own idea who's God, what's God, and everything like that. So we're Vaishnava by philosophy. Like that. So then we follow the Vaishnava philosophy as given to us, and we follow the Vedic religion as given to us. That's complete. So so generally you find is there's never much of a debate as far as philosophy goes. There is a few here and there, but most difficulties aren't that devotees face aren't philosophically based. They're religion based. Is that they don't want to follow the Vaishnava behavior instead. Does that make sense? That's where the difference comes. Does that make sense? Yeah.
We're justifying that we can't follow.
We use the philosophy to justify how we can't follow. You know, yes, preaching. Yeah, preaching for who? Yeah. It keeps me out of Vaishnava behavior. If I didn't talk like this, I'd have to act like a Vaishnava. So, yeah. A Vaishnava is Nidrita Trishna. That is, he has no material purpose. For his only purpose is to preach Krishna consciousness. So-called scholars, philosophers, and politicians exploit the importance of Bhagavad Gita by distorting its meaning for their own purposes. And they have a purpose, then they interpret it in that way. And then, because it's a distort, means just like this, if we're dealing with the Supreme, that's quite inclusive. Now, if I only have a particular perspective, then I make a presentation based on that perspective alone. Right? Because it has that material element, it will seemingly be more clear, more logical, right? More direct. But in actuality, it's not. It's that we're dealing with, what was it? Bahuma.
Bhuma.
Bhuma. Means the great. So the unlimited. So to be able to describe the unlimited in, you know, how you say, 18 chapters, then that's a great thing. Right? Even to do it in 12 cantos is great. So that's the whole point, is that we have to be able to hear from authority. If we don't hear from authority, it's not going to work. Yes.
A little different topic, but also about hearing. Sometimes we like to hear from specific individuals and not from others. And we also like to hear a certain level of presentation and not something else. Would it be considered also not proper?
No, that's just a matter of taste. One is we pick those who are more advanced than ourselves, but it's also of similar nature. So that's why it says Swajati, who's more advanced. So then it's a natural thing to do. It's not a problem at all.
Well, sometimes it's professed that's offensive, that you differentiate and then it becomes.
No, but then if you can't differentiate, so you can't tell the difference between Krishna and Radharani, so who ends up with the flute? Who gets the peacock feather? So then if we're really getting into that, and then are you differentiating because there's non-difference between Krishna's head and Krishna's feet? They all can do the same thing, so why are you putting the crown on the head? Why are you discriminating? You should put it on the feet. And like that, you know what I'm saying? So you can go on and on and on. These are all just coming from modern political stances. They have nothing to do with reality. Now, if someone is making on a mundane platform, making that discrimination, then you could use that argument that, yes, it's improper. But now, what are you going to do if there's 10 speakers speaking and then you choose one of them? Now you're offensive? You know? So, you know, like that. So then just make it. There's one speaker. Yes.
Yeah,
a little loudly.
Word offensive comes especially when it talks about Bhagavatam as a personality. They say that you're offending a personality who's anyway there in that form. So in that sense,
can we avoid? The point is if you have two different speakers and you choose one over the other, how is that offensive? If you avoid hearing Bhagavatam, and therefore, you know, you'd rather hear, you know, what Shah Rukh is saying, then, you know, that's another thing.
There are no two speakers, there's only one speaker, and as you said.
But the point is then what are you going to do with that? Then are you going to, means that's an activity, but then point is, there has to be, there's also the inspiration. If that's the one class and this and that, then that would be attended. But we're generally talking you know, that there's a variety. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Because if that's actually a problem, then why is it at the temple there's one person talking? Okay? And how many people are in the community? Right? How many people are at the class listening? So if we're going to take this as a principle and apply it, then we have first work on the other 600 centers and all that, and then you know, we'll talk about personally applying it. You know what I'm saying? Point is to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, this verse warns that Krishna Katha should be recited by a person who is Nivritta Trishna. Sukadeva Goswami epitomizes the proper reciter for Srimad Bhagavatam. And Parikit Maharaj, who purposely left his kingdom and family prior to meeting death, epitomizes the person fit to hear it. Right? So, someone who has no material purpose, someone who's given up all material purpose. So, this is qualification. Right? So, the more that's developed, the better the qualification. A qualified reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam gives the right medicine, bhavaushadi, for the conditioned souls. The Krishna conscious movement is therefore trying to train qualified preachers to recite Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita throughout the entire world, so that people in general in all parts of the world may take advantage of this movement and thus be relieved of the threefold miseries of material existence. So here it says, how you say, qualified preachers. So qualified, we see, is not how much you know, but it's the character you have. That's the main thing. Because even if you only know a small part of the philosophy, if in that you have the proper character, it will have the potency. Right? But if you have so much knowledge, but don't have the character, it won't actually carry. So qualified means character. Right? Means that's why guna and karma. So guna means the character. Karma means then that ability to do. Right? So we have the knowledge and skills, but the guna is going to be our attitude. That's going to make the difference. So that's, Prabhupada says, that's what this movement is for. Right? Did we finish that sentence? We get to existence?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying, did we finish the threefold miseries of material?
Yeah, we finished.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone who is not Krishna conscious and who therefore does not engage in the service of the Lord is also pashugna, for he is willingly drinking poison. Such a person cannot be interested in Krishna Katha because he has the desire for material sense gratification. He is not Nivritta Trishna. Right? So, therefore, Nivritta Trishna means in pursuance of Nivritta Trishna and following the footsteps of those who are, then that is all within that category. As it is said, Trivar Gikas Te Purusha Vimukta Hari Meda Saha. Those interested in Trivarga, that is Dharma, Artha, and Kama, are religious for the sake of achieving a material position with which to gain better facilities for sense gratification. Right? Because then it's about myself, so I want facility for myself. Rather than I am performing my duties and those facilities are for serving Krishna. Because I see things in connection to Krishna. So it's a matter of the mentality, the ones there. Okay. And let alone people give up religious life for sense gratification. That's just not even... That doesn't even count. Such persons are killing themselves by willingly keeping themselves in the cycle of birth and death. Because then you'll die. It's just like it says, one death leads to another death. They cannot be interested in Krishna consciousness. So someone who's materially absorbed, then they can't be. And also then, you know, so in that way they're the butcher of the soul, meaning of themselves, that they're interested only in the temporary, so they're going to die. So they're killing themselves, but slowly. Yes. Like that.
Explicit torture.
Sorry?
Explicit torture.
Yes. Yes. Slowly, slow. For Krishna Katha, topics about Krishna consciousness. There must be a speaker and a hearer, both of whom can be interested in Krishna consciousness if they are no longer interested in material topics. One can actually see how this attitude automatically develops in persons who are Krishna conscious, right? So you start the process, you come in contact with someone who is interested in Krishna Katha, we start developing that mentality. Then we're able to move forward in that. Right? So that's how it begins. Because one would say, oh, but unless you have both, how it'll work? No, the point is simply you come in contact with, then it starts to work. Then it will develop. That's the meaning of causeless mercy. It means we're pashubnat, but then by causeless mercy we come in contact with the devotees, we're able to take up the process, therefore we develop an interest in hearing. Although the devotees of the Krishna conscious movement are quite young men, they no longer read materialistic newspapers, magazines, and so on, for they are no longer interested in such topics. Nivritta tarshahi. They completely give up the bodily understanding of life. For topic concerning Uttama Shloka, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master speaks and the disciples hears with attention. Unless both of them are free from material desires, they cannot be interested in topics of Krishna consciousness. The spiritual master and disciple do not need to understand anything more than Krishna, because simply by understanding Krishna and talking about Krishna, one becomes a perfectly learned person. Because from that, you can see what to do. See, as you have the approach or the concept that, okay, dealing with the material energy, then there's situations. So now, to function in that situation, I have to have knowledge of that situation, what I can do with that situation, what results I can get. So now, the more knowledge I have, the more experience I have in applying that knowledge, I will be able to therefore work in the widest variety of ways and dealings. Right? So that's one approach. Now, how much work, how much study has to go into that? How much practice? Very much a lot. Yeah, very much. Very much a lot. It's about to say. Very much the a lot. That would be the correct way of saying it. So, but now if we see that we understand Krishna, how he's everything, then we see Krishna in what we're doing. That means you actually know every situation. That means by knowing that, you know how to deal in any situation. So that's what one has to teach. That then makes one qualified. That's the qualified picture. Because otherwise, you know tactics, this and that, and you got all the lines, like the Sankirtan lines. Okay, so now there's those who use lines, there's those who make up the lines. So who comes to the temple and gives the seminar on book distribution? The one who uses the lines or the one who makes up the lines? Right? So the person who's making up the lines, what does that mean? That means he's seeing above the lines.
He's actually contemplating the mindset.
Yeah, it's the mood and all that. So therefore, then there's a line that matches the mood. But we take it, no, here's the line. The person does this, we use this line, and if they say that, we use that line, and it doesn't work. As a start, yes. If someone's sincere that they want to do, let's say, in this case, book distribution, therefore they take the lines, they go out there, they apply them with sincerity, Krishna then reveals that knowledge. Then they're able to use the lines naturally. So yes, as a starting point, it's okay. But the real point is not that technical knowledge, is knowing Krishna is the central point. Does that make sense? So that's why one has to be careful when you say that trained preachers, but trained means in that proper understanding and attitude, not simply just in technique. That's it's very important. Otherwise, then you just end up with more big philosophers and scientists and scholars and politicians.
It's the guna, not the karma.
It's the guna that's the main. Karma will match the guna. You have the guna, you can use karma. It's just like, give the example. You may have seen this or not. You have, well, yeah, you've probably seen. Well, let's take it into the original one. You have this the person playing shanai, right? Now he's playing and doing so many things, and he can do that for hours because that's what they're supposed to do. You have them come to a program or some auspicious ceremony. They sit over in the corner somewhere where they're not, you know, in the way, but not, you know, too out of the way. And because the program's going to go for hours, and people are going to come before the program, so they start playing, and they're playing for hours, literally. Now, one guy is playing all the things and doing all this. He's just doing that as he goes. Now, there's a guy next to him that also has a shanai. All he does is play one note the whole time. So what he knows how to do is, he's blowing on the shanai with his mouth, but he's breathing in through his nose simultaneously.
Wow.
That's all he can do.
That's a lot.
I can't do it.
No, it's a matter of you close the throat and you put pressure on the cheeks.
Yeah.
You can do that, and while you're doing that, you can breathe in. Okay, see now? Now you can do that. Okay, now you're qualified. Okay?
If nothing else, I take this from the class.
So therefore, that 3-second class, now you're qualified too.
I won't.
Okay.
If anyone has a program later today.
Yeah. So but you're only playing the drone show, right?
Yeah.
But now you can say that is his ability, right? But now what's his guna? He's a musician because, as long as the other guy is sitting there and playing all the fancy notes, he can just play that one note. So the guy's there for he can play one note for 3 hours. That's a musician. No one other than a musician could do that. You understand? But that's his guna. He's a musician. But karma, he can only play the drum. You understand? So too much emphasis is put on the karma. That the bigger the karma, the better it'll be. But it's not at all. You can have huge karma, but if you don't have the guna, you can't do anything with it. You know. Hence, you know, kids sitting in a garage setting up a $1 billion business. What training do they have? What is this karma that they've got? Nothing. But they have the guna. Because so many people come up with amazing ideas. Who makes money off of it? Who actually it happens? So that's the whole point. It's this overemphasis on, you have to have these particular skill sets. That's what will make the preacher. That's what will make the manager. That's what will make a temple president. That's what will make all these things. So we have to have a school that teaches all these skills. Nice, but the point is, if you don't teach the guna, then what's the use? Because there's a good chance what you're teaching is not as good as what the karmis do anyway. Mm-hmm. So neither will it work nicely in the karmi world, and neither will it work in the devotee world. So then why waste your time? You understand? That's the whole thing. So guna is the main thing.
So that's why we see Gurukul is just teaching under a tree or something. It works.
Yes.
You don't need.
You don't need the things. That's the difficulty, is that you come into here. Now, let's say we were on a well-known, respected Western campus, and this was the room where we would be discussing really technical philosophy. You'd be able to tell that by walking into the room. You know, it'd be in that department, it'd be this and that. But because it's not like the Vedic, you'd sit anywhere. Therefore, this can be used for this. You can serve prasad here. People can sleep here. Kids can play here. You can do anything here. So then it's taken, this is not as serious. This is, you know, this isn't, you know, university. Right? This is not tertiary education. Technically, we're in quaternary education now. So devotees don't even know what that is, let alone you. You know what I'm saying? So if that's the problem with the Veda, because it is upon that understand that the qualities and that understanding, it's misunderstood. While the modern is all about the show, it's all about the external. You know, you go to the school. Oh yeah, no, we like this school because they have the horse riding thing. They have the things here. Look at the quad. Look at this and that. You know, yeah, I want my kid in this school. Mm-hmm. You know, but what about anything else? You know. So the guys with money, that's what they look at. The nerds look at, you know, with the quality of education, but who cares about nerds? Right, you know, so. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, because you go to a nerd university, it looks the same as a high school. Right? There's no difference. Same old boring stuff.
You feel comfortable there.
Yeah, yeah.
You
don't want to change. Yeah.
No, exactly.
I didn't think about that. Okay, so that's a perfectly learned person is the character. So that's why then the Vedic system, the emphasis is on the character. Right? Like you see, we have a morning program. Now in that morning program, there's, you know, an hour of Bhagavatam study. But, so that ends at 9. But when did the program start? Right? At 4:30. What was before that? That was all devotional practices. So, with, how you say, so that means, then we're going 4.5 hours. So 1 hour was study, and 3.5 hours were practices, so that we would have the qualifications to study. So that's a decent proportion. Right? That's a decent proportion. So then if you consider that, now if we want to have a school for training preachers and managers, then that means basically 1/4 would have to be the knowledge and skills that they want, and 3/4 would have to be the character training needed to do that. I'll let everyone just connect the dots themselves. Yes, okay. Okay. When discourses on Krishna Katha take place between a liberated spiritual master and his disciple, others also sometimes take advantage of hearing these topics and also benefit, right? So therefore, Prabhupada's given the teachings, the acharyas, then we follow that program, so we're getting benefit, and then others may come along and, you know, what's going on here, and get benefit, you know. So that's the whole point, is when we have a program, then we're having a program for the devotees. And then people come along to that program, they get benefit. Because it's a devotional program. But it's not that Prabhupada would be there if certain guests would come to the program, that he wouldn't adjust vocabulary or examples given, or emphasize certain points so that the guests wouldn't they get benefit. But the point is it's still within the context of the devotees and the devotional. It's just bringing out certain aspects. Does that make sense? But if we change it so it's not devotional, then what's the point? What are you going to make? You know what I'm saying? Westerners are already there. What glory you have making Westerners? Right? Is that a glory? No. That's the, what was the other one?
Miserable condition.
Yeah, miserable condition. It was not a shining glory. Right? These topics are the medicine to stop the repetition of birth and death. The cycle of repeated birth and death, by which one takes on different bodies again and again, is called bhava, or bhava rog. Not, you notice here, not bhava. This is bhava. Bhava is the material world. Bhava is ecstasy.
Important to
distinguish. Yes. Yes.
Don't take a wrong turn.
No. So we have to be careful between Bhavananda and Bhavananda.
Like Brahma and Brahma. Brahma.
Yes.
Brahman is the Brahman, but Brahma is roaming, it's whimsical.
Yeah. So Brahma. Yeah, that means illusion.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So.
Yeah. If anyone unwillingly or hears Krishna Katha, his bhava roga or rogue or the disease of birth and death will certainly stop. Therefore, Krishna Katha is called bhavaushadi, a bhavaushada, the remedy to stop the repetition of birth and death. Karmis are persons attached to material sense enjoyment, generally cannot give up their material desires. But Krishna Katha is such a potent medicine that one is induced to hear Krishna Kirtana. He will certainly be freed from this disease. So if we just continue, that's why it's said on a regular basis. Right? If the Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So Nityam means regular. Naimittik means occasional. But, you know, so going to the temple for Janmashtami program once a year, that's occasional.
Every year.
every year. Okay. A new twist, but it's still occasional. So nitya means daily. So somehow or another you're working in hearing about Krishna, kirtan, hearing the Bhagavatam, hearing the holy name, chanting, you know, all these different things, discussing about Krishna. Some way on a daily basis that will then get rid of this bhava rog. A practical example is Dhruva Maharaj, who at the end of his tapasya was fully satisfied. So he started off with material intent, but that material intent was directed towards the Lord. That's why there's not a problem in engaging our desires in the Krishna service. You have to make sure it's engaged and also know the difference between what's pure and what's mixed, right? Then it makes it very easy to get to. Right? When the Lord wanted to give Dhruva a benediction, Dhruva refused it. Swamin kritartosmi varam na yache. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 22:42. My dear Lord, he said, I am fully satisfied. I do not ask for any benediction for material sense gratification. We actually see that even young boys and girls in the Krishna conscious movement have given up their long practice of bad habits like illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Because Krishna consciousness is so potent that it gives them full satisfaction, they are no longer interested in material sense gratification. So that's how one gives up, is that one is Krishna conscious. Right? It's not about the religious aspect itself. Like that, you know, the purity that is there, the renunciation, the celibacy. These aren't actually the main point. We tend to make it the main point, and hence we end up with hard preaching, and then we want to make these points more palatable, so we stick with these external religions and then make it soft preaching by not using the religions, right? So the process then is. Preaching means you're giving the primary, which is Krishna. Right? So, sense gratification means one's giving up sense gratification because one sees it in relation to Krishna. It's no longer sense gratification. Does that make sense? Then it's a matter of, then is it your duty or not? Right? So then what's your duty in those areas? You engage those in Krishna's service. What's not, then that's what you avoid. That's pious. Right? If there's impiety, then at least what one's not supposed to be doing, one connects it to Krishna. That will purify to bring you to the point where you're actually able to be pious and do what you're supposed to be doing. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. That's how the process works. It's not that gritting your teeth is what's making the process so dynamic. It's giving up sense gratification. How is that given up? That's given up because that's the material disease. That's given up because of taking shelter of Krishna. Does that make sense? So by kirtan, that's how it is. So by absorbing yourself more in Krishna consciousness, there's less interest in other things. If there's interest, then you connect them to Krishna. Does that make sense? Yes.
We usually see that we observe the interest is less. As long as we are not so observed, interest comes back. So this is the road and the fire example?
Yes.
But what would be the crucial point that it doesn't go back?
By the consistency. That's why it's considered nishta, or that means then one nityam bhaga, because one's become, what's the verse before that? Or it'll be one after. It says that one becomes fixed. Because they're saying that by that one will get rid of these, then one becomes fixed in devotional service. Right? So that's the whole idea, is that by continually contemplating, eventually we get to that point, we're fixed. That's what's going on. That's that higher principle. That's what's happening. This lower principle is not what's happening. It means we're using that because that's what we see, and we connect that to Krishna. But actually the point is it's the connection, it's the about Krishna that actually makes it why we're able to give up. It's not because we're following, you know, these rules very nicely, that's why we're able to follow the rules. No, it's because we're following bhakti, that's why we can follow the rules. So when we see that, then the shift goes more. Then it's not dry, right? Then it's understood, because we're taking it as a body of rules, and I'm either following or not following. No, it's a principle of Krishna consciousness. So how much am I following? You understand? So that has, in other words, Krishna consciousness, the primary, has all the, you know, 0 to 100. But when we deal with the religion, it's you're doing it or not. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the difference. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainataya Gaurav Vaishnava.